Let's pray together. Father God, we come into this place this morning and we do need you. It's not just a song that we sing, but it's something that we recognize with our lives, that there is a need for a Savior. The difference that that makes in our lives. And Heavenly Father, this morning, I'm certain that there are people that have come that have had tough weeks, hard weeks, frustrating weeks, disappointing weeks, and they need you. I pray, Lord God, that you show yourself to those people. Heavenly Father, I know there are people that have, they're coming off the mountaintop peak this week. Excitement from great things that are going on in their lives. And even in those moments, Lord God, help us to not forget that we need you. This morning, Lord God, as we open our Bibles and we begin this study in the book of Galatians, and this morning as we talk about your saving grace, may we be reminded of the fact that each one of us needs you and this world needs you. And you have a plan for that. So open our eyes to that plan and open our eyes to how we are a part of that plan this morning, I pray. In your name, amen. So this morning we're starting a new series on the book of Galatians, and we're going to be working through it for the next several weeks. We're starting out by talking about God's saving grace. We'll be talking about the subject of grace over the next couple weeks. And then we're going to be looking at the idea of being a part of the family of God, what that means. We're going to talk about the freedom that we find in Christ. So I'm looking forward to this series as we move forward. And I think it'll be a good series for us to walk through the book of Galatians together and learn from Paul and his life. I want you to just imagine with me for a moment that there's a man and his wife that have gone out in the late afternoon for a hike. And they're out deep into the woods hiking. And as dark begins to settle, they realize that they don't know their way out. So somehow they're able to pick up a phone and make a phone call, because we live in this wonderful world of cell phones. Even when we're on hiking trips, we can still use them usually. And they call and they call 911 and they say, "Look, we're fine right now, but we're lost and we have no way out, and it's getting dark, it's getting cold, there's a storm that's coming in. We need somebody to come find us and help us." So now imagine that you're part of that rescue team that is sent to go find them. And you work your way down different paths and different trails, and you're looking and looking and looking and doing everything that you can to find this couple. And you're out there for hours, and it's beginning to rain. The rain's picking up in intensity. And you're just giving your time trying to help these people find safety. You happen to be the person that comes across them. You find them and you're excited to find them, and they're still healthy and doing well. They're cold, they're wet, but they're healthy and doing well. So you say, "Follow me. Let's get out of here together. I know the way out." So you take them and you're leading them down the path. And as you get to one point, you turn back to them and you say, "I got some great news. Just up ahead, like we're talking 5 minutes or less, there's a little cabin. And inside that cabin, there's some food, there's some heat. There's a place where you can dry yourselves off and get some change of clothes before we finish up the last leg of our hike out." And as you turn back, you see them, instead of following you, take a path in a different direction. At that moment, what are you thinking to yourself? Right? You're wondering what they're thinking, first of all. You're asking them what they're doing. You're urging them to continue to follow you to safety. You know that you know the only way to safety, and they're not willing to follow you. The way that they're heading, it will surely find them lost again, and perhaps even worse as the storm gets worse through the night. This is the scenario, the situation in Galatia, modern-day Turkey. Paul had gone to Galatia and set up churches there on his first missionary trip. You can see this in the book of Acts, if you're taking notes, Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14. We'll kind of give you that scenario, that setting. And he told them that salvation was by grace and that there was no other way to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Other leaders who came after Paul, they were confusing the Galatians by preaching something that was different than what Paul had taught. From later on in Galatians, we'll get there eventually, but if you were to flip forward to chapter 5, the first four verses there, or you can also find it in Acts chapter 15, we see that the people who were confusing others were Judaizers. That they were claiming that you had to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. These people were doing the same thing in Antioch. We see this throughout Acts 15. In fact, in Acts 15, chapter or verse 1, it says this. It says, "Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved.'" Unless you are Jewish, you cannot be saved. They were saying that our salvation is based on more than just God's grace. So Paul writes this letter to the church in Galatia because many there are starting to believe some of the false teachings that have been taking place, and he's concerned about that. And that's kind of where we're picking stuff up as we get into the book of Galatians. I want us to look today at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Galatians and see what was going on and draw some thoughts from that this morning. So if you have your Bible with us, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. If you're using one of the church Bibles found underneath your seats, it's going to be page 823. 823. As we get started, the first thing that we are going to see right from the beginning is that Paul was preaching a message of grace. That's number one. Paul was teaching a message of grace. We're going to start at verse 3 and work through verse 9. Starting at verse 3, it says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." And then Paul goes on. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is not really a gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let them be eternally condemned." Wow, that's quite a statement, right, that Paul's making there. If anybody else, including an angel from heaven, preaches something different than what I shared with you, let them be condemned. "As we have already said, so now I say it again," and he repeats it, "if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned." Paul, when he established these churches, he preached that salvation came in one way only, and that was through the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. And that is the first thing that we need to realize about the message of grace. It is that grace by itself is good news. It says, "I'm astonished that you so quickly are deserting the one who called you by grace, by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Paul is saying that they're turning to a different gospel means that they're turning from the true gospel, which Paul had taught them was the grace of God. Paul is saying that he's astonished. I'm going to guess he's more than just astonished at this time. I'm going to guess he's frustrated. He's disappointed. I'm going to guess maybe he's even a little bit angry that somebody's undoing some of the work that God had him doing. The gospel message is a message of grace. Period. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He died, and 3 days later, He rose again. He took the punishment, and He gave us His righteousness through that. That's the gospel message, the message of saving grace. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. That is grace. He has blessed us with what we do not deserve as people. A man by the name of Neil Wilson. I saw a quote from him in one of the commentaries I was reading this week. And I think he sums up really well as to our participation, our part in being saved. When he says this, he says, "Our most active participation in God's work of saving us is simply allowing ourselves to be saved." It's all God. That's the good news. This is what Paul was preaching to the Galatians. And then some others came in and were saying that Jesus' death and resurrection made it possible for salvation. But first you have to become Jews and be circumcised. You have to. All of a sudden, the focus is off of what God does for us and on to what you and I need to do in order to earn our salvation. Paul is saying, So, wait a minute. That's not good news. That's not the gospel that I preached. Paul's saying that this is actually probably pretty bad news as being infiltrated with this nonsense. Grace plus anything else is bad news. And sometimes we even like to put other things in there as to how we earn this relationship with Christ. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it said, if you remember, he says the gospel you are turning to is no gospel at all. See, when we add something else to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, it becomes no gospel at all. When we add something to the work of Christ to receive salvation, we're saying that Christ's work on the cross was not good enough. All we do is receive the grace of Christ by believing in Him as Savior and in the work that He completed on the cross. That's saving grace. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, says, "Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." They received Him. That's their part in this journey of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast." Our salvation comes to us through God's saving grace, and that is it. And as believers, we must be certain to not get ourselves caught up into the legalism that we can get ourselves into sometimes. Believing in Christ and receiving Him as Savior is what allows us to spend eternity with Him in heaven. It's not about going to church. It's not about being baptized. It's not about reading our Bibles. It's not about doing good things for other people. It's not about any of those things. Our salvation hinges on none of that. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we should be doing those things that I just mentioned. And as we do them, we grow stronger and we glorify God more with our lives. But they will not get us a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can do everything on that list and it doesn't complete what needs done. When we talk to those who are not in a relationship with Christ, and I'm going to guess that every single one of us in here knows somebody that doesn't know Christ. When we talk to people that don't know Jesus Christ, we need to stick just to the simple message of saving grace through Jesus Christ. And that's it. The second thing that we see in this first chapter of Galatians is that Paul was a deliverer of grace. Paul was a deliverer of grace. We're going to jump back to the first two verses, and then we're going to jump past what we just read to verse 10. So starting at verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle sent not from men, nor by God, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the church in Galatia. And then he says this. So Paul being sent from God to these people. Then we go down to verse 10. He says this. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. There's a couple things that we need to understand about being a deliverer, about Paul being a deliverer of saving grace to other people. Deliverers have something to share or to pass on, right? Something to actually deliver. Otherwise, you're not a deliverer. You're not a messenger. You're not a delivery service, whatever you want to call it. A messenger delivers something from someone to someone else. If I get on Amazon this afternoon and I place an order for something, Amazon is going to make sure that gets delivered to me by tomorrow morning, hopefully, but most likely by Tuesday. Right? Amazon has what I want, what I need, but there's somebody in between there that's the deliverer of what Amazon has and what I need, or I think I need. Right? Paul is delivering the message of grace that he's received from Christ to the Galatians. So he's the deliverer. Now think about it. It matters who delivers a message to you. And here's why I say that. When I was a child, growing up in a household with three boys, I had two older brothers. And if on some particular Saturday morning I was upstairs in the house and one of my brothers, either Derek or Doug, were to have come over to the steps and started yelling up the steps at me, get down here, you're supposed to clean the bathroom this morning. Well, what's my response going to be to one of my brothers? I'm probably not going downstairs. And if so, I'm certainly delaying it for hours upon hours upon hours, right? Like, I'm not doing this. Who's Doug or Derek to tell me to go clean the bathroom? It's probably because mom and dad told them to clean it, and now they're delegating, right? But if my parents were to come over to the steps and say, Dustin, you need to come downstairs and clean the bathroom, what happens all of a sudden? I respond because there's authority behind the request that just happened. Even if one of my brothers were to come over to the steps and say, Dustin, Mom or Dad said you're supposed to come down. All of a sudden, the whole situation's changed because there's authority behind the request. There's authority behind it. Paul is reminding the Galatians that this message is from the Lord. It's not from him. It is sent by somebody with incredible authority. He said, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ himself. He didn't get it from his buddies. He didn't make it up on his own one night. He got it from Jesus himself. And that message was validated by miracles, Scripture tells us. In the book of Acts chapter 14, the first three verses, it's talking about Paul there. This is Luke most likely is the author of this. And it's talking about Paul. It says, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Galatians and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent a considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The Lord confirms that the message they spoke was from Him. We speak the same message today. We're told, we're instructed, we're commanded to speak the same message today. Each one of us should be a deliverer of the gospel of grace. Your message today is confirmed by God's Word. So often in our culture today, in our times today, that is one of the ways that God validates His message to us, is through His Word that He's given to us. When I speak on a Sunday morning, you need to make sure that what I am sharing and speaking lines up with what you find in God's Word. That's why I use Scripture as a basis for my messages on Sunday mornings. You don't need to come here and listen to what Dustin has to say. I don't have all that much to say. What makes what I have to say any more valuable than anybody else? Nothing. You want to hear what it is that God may have us hear this morning. He is, however, going to use us as individuals to convey His messages to people. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without somebody preaching to them? God chooses to use us to convey His message. We need to take that to heart. As believers, we need to be faithful in delivering the message that the Lord has given to us. The message of salvation through grace and grace alone. The second thing we need to understand is that who the deliverer is matters. The reputation of the deliverer matters, might be a better way of phrasing it. It matters who is telling me something. It matters to whether I believe them or not. I have great confidence when I order my stuff on Amazon. If UPS is going to deliver it, it's going to be there in 2 days. If it's the U.S. Postal Service on the other hand, just saying it matters who the deliverer is. This message has to be delivered from a person to another person. And Paul is somebody who the Galatians have known. They've known him personally, or they've at least heard about him, and they know how he lived his life. They know what kind of person he is. They know that he is a man of integrity. And they also know if he wouldn't have been a man of integrity. They know he lives his life in accordance to what he actually speaks. It lines up. They know that he is not trying to win the favor of man, but of God. He's certainly not winning the favor of the Jews these days. And yet, as we shall see in just a little bit further into the message, he was a Jew of the Jews before he met Christ on the road to Damascus. So here's a question that we need to consider as a follower of Christ. What kind of deliverer are you? What kind of deliverer are you? Maybe you're thinking, I'm not a deliverer. That's not my gifting. It's not my tool house. I would disagree with you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a deliverer. You're to deliver a message to those who know you and are around you. Even if it isn't with your words, they're learning from how you present yourself and carry yourself. We've all heard the saying, right? Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. The question is, what message are you delivering with your actions? Are you delivering a message that people will respond to by saying, this person really believes what they are saying, and it shows in how they live their life? Or are you delivering a message that people respond to by saying, you know what, they talk about Christianity a lot, they talk about their faith a lot, they talk about Jesus a lot, but their life just doesn't match what they say? This is a question that is important for us as believers to wrestle with. We must take this seriously, because if we fall into that second category, not only do we not do a good job of delivering a message, but we actually do harm to the kingdom of God. Now, this doesn't mean that any of us are perfect in how we live our lives. But it does mean that if we blow it, we own up to it, we confess it, and we seek forgiveness, and we move on. I don't try to hide it. We can't do that. We can't just forget about it or think that it's no big deal, because people are watching us. How we live our lives matters. The life of the deliverer matters in how well the message gets received. And then finally, the last thing that we see is Paul's life showed the power of grace. So there I want us to pick up at verse 13. Starting at verse 13, it says, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." And then we're going to jump down to verse 22. And Paul felt called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in these verses. And we get down to verse 22 where he says, "I was personally known to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us," right, who was preaching against the churches, "formerly persecuted us, is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of him." He kind of went from being a pain in the butt to being like a pastor that was actually doing good things for the kingdom. The power of God's saving grace became evident in Paul's life through a changed life. That's what grace does. That's what saving grace does. It changes a person. There's this incredible power that is available to each one of us through God's saving grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you have received the saving grace of Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." Paul persecuted the church and tried to destroy it, but when he experienced God's grace, he was changed by it. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." But by the grace of God, I am what I am. God's grace had this great effect on Paul's life. He was changed to the point where people were reporting, as we read in our last passage there, the man who formerly persecuted us, persecuted the church, is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. That's a pretty remarkable change. God's saving grace changes lives. And that's the importance as to why you and I as believers need to share that saving grace with other people. We're in a world that desperately needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We're in a world that desperately needs change to take place. Through God's saving grace, that's possible. So what will you choose to do with the change that Christ has made in your life, if you know Christ and you're here today? What will you choose to do with it? The difference that He's made with your life, what will you do with that? Will you use it for His purposes? The answer for us as believers should be that we're going to share that with others. That we talk about God's saving grace in our lives and the difference that it's made in our lives. And by doing that, we become deliverers of the message of God. Will you choose to share God's saving grace with somebody in the next couple of weeks? I said earlier in the message that probably every one of us here knows somebody that doesn't know Christ. Are you willing to make a commitment to step outside of your comfort zone? Way outside of your comfort zone, maybe. And share the best news that can possibly be shared with anybody. The news that's so powerful that it can take a life of Paul, who's persecuting the church on all fronts, and change it around to this life that is strengthening the church and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Will you share that saving grace with somebody in the next couple weeks? I want you just to think in your mind somebody that you know that needs to hear that story. Try to put a name to it in your head. Maybe, just maybe, God's plan is that you will be the person that shares that saving grace with them. Let's pray. Before we pray, I'm going to have you, if there's somebody in your mind that you're thinking of, maybe it's a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody in the community, another organization you're a part of, school, If there's somebody specific in your mind that God's laying on your heart, that maybe you're the person to share that with, I just want you to raise your hand, because I want to be praying for you over the weeks to come. All right. Absolutely. That's awesome, guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for what your saving grace has meant in our lives. Help us to just always be reminded of the fact that we hold on to this amazing message. And that it's not your plan for us just to hold on to it, but it's your plan for us to share it as well. So for those that have indicated this morning that there is somebody in their life that they are going to share this message with, of saving grace, I pray, Lord God, that you will give them boldness to step into conversations that they never thought that they could step into. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them opportunities to be able to share that faith, that you will open up doors and conversations that allow for that conversation to take place. I pray, Lord God, that you will take off any blinders and just open their eyes to each opportunity that you give. And Heavenly Father, I pray for how that message is received as it's delivered. We would pray, Lord God, that your mighty hand would be at work. And that people, no matter where they're at in their journey of faith, that they would just take a step closer to knowing you. Or maybe they take that step and they actually give their life to you. We just pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would be a part of each of those conversations. And that people's lives would be changed as a result. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.